This morning, we had the privilege of having Ross here.
Amen.
Amen. And you can ask my wife. My sermon was done before he came. Okay, so now I'm saying this afternoon while I was sitting, I said maybe I must get another sermon for tonight. And Danielle said no. It'll build the people's faith to see that the Lord is speaking. So for those of you who've been there this morning, I'm going to say pretty much the same thing as he did, but just in different words, different scripture. But as you can see in my title, God rules always as, always will. You know, that's one of the things that was in, when I was in Res in Stellenbosch, one of the things that was on my cupboard that I put there, funky italics, purple and pink and that. But that's what it said. God rules, always has, always will. And then the part that isn't there, you know, nice and teeny of me. Then I was in my teens, maybe my 20s beginning. Then the next phrase says, end of discussion. So God rules, always has, always will. And that's the end of discussion. And I was, just preparing for the sermon, I was thinking about that. But the reason I'm speaking into this, same thing as Ross said this morning, you know, I came to a place in the week where all the stuff, you know, and especially the politics and the things, it started to get to me. You know, I like to read a lot, and I was reading, you know, all the news and you know, then that kind of, you know, up and down that you've got. One moment there's hope, and the next moment there's not. And I was caught in that place where, after Gwede Mantashe came out and just repented, you know, for speaking out and for being out of line, and they're gonna stick with Zuma, and all the MPs that want to vote against him, you know. When that happened, I was like really distraught in my spirit. Okay, in a sense to pray, yes, obviously, but there was something in me that was hoping for a change. And I was seeing it. And I was thinking, maybe this is it. The change that we're looking for. The reform that there needs to be. And, God has been reforming a lot again, and he started with us as a church, a shofar, you know, as a shofar group. We've been going through reform just a lot the last couple of months, and God always starts with his church, and we're part of that, and started to reform our thinking, and you know, the direction that we were going on. You know, God came and he just changed that, and from there I was thinking. I decided not to read as much anymore, but it was just depressing, okay, quite frankly. It was really depressing. When I opened the News 24 or whatever, and then after I read like three just headings of things, now I was like, ugh. So I thought, no, I'm going to, some of us here works for News 24, Media 24, but I just decided no. I cannot do this anymore, because it was bringing me to a place where I was so much hoping in people to bring about the change that it was affecting me, and not hoping in God. We had a sermon, you know, the other day where it went about, don't hope in something apart from God. Hope in God. He is the one that can change. He is the one that will change when he wills to change it. But as I was going through this whole commotion, I was like, God, please help me to pray, because that's what the word says. The word says, pray for your leaders. And that means Jacob Zuma as well, and the whole shebang around them. Because who appointed them? Us, the voters. Okay, no. Oh. Yes, that might be, but God did. You know, so all authority, every ruler, every king has been appointed by God, And you can say whatever you want about that. That is the fact. And we need to sort out our hearts regarding that. Okay, so that's tough. All right, that's not easy. But tonight I want to continue where Ross left off. He preached from Revelation 4. I'm going to preach from Revelation 1. And like he said, the context here is one of actually political injustice. Okay, that John writes, and it's politically unjust what happened to him. He was a prisoner because of nothing that he did wrong, just something that he said and was saying. And that was actually quite a revelation to me this morning when I was listening to him, is that wherever you go, where there's an ungodly, unjust rulership at the head, the one thing that they will not tolerate is the gospel. It doesn't matter in which country you are at. Just check it out. It's fine. All the other stuff, that's great. You know, the demons know one another. So it's fine. Just you can come in here. But don't speak about truth and the gospel and Christ and his rulership. You get killed for that, man. And it's weird, you know, to see that operating. And why? We don't take up arms. Nothing. We just proclaim the supremacy of Christ. So let's just read together there. In Revelation 1, 4 and 5 says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead." And then this little verse. "And the ruler of kings on the earth." When we look at Christ and who he is, then that last verse, the part of that verse, he is the ruler of the kings of this earth. Those kings that might think, you know, they're standing on a place, you know, where they're invincible. Many of them, you know, apart from death that might come someday for them, nothing deters them because they think that they are in control. But they're not. Jesus is the king of all the kings. That's what the word says. Now, we live in days of great instability. Just look at the rand. Look at, you know, it's weird. I was in finances before I became a pastor, and there was always, like, you know, a bull market and a bear market, and you could kind of like work it out, you know, over time it's going to be a bear market. You know, for the past couple of years, we've been stagnant. The world has been stagnant. Nobody knows which way it's going. You know, a little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit up, a little bit down. But it's going in this sideways trajectory because nobody knows. You know, it's kind of like everything is poised for something. But nobody really knows what. We do, as Christians. It is very unstable everywhere. And the one thing that I saw is that I need to get my heart right in this time of instability, because my future and my security is not dependent on some person or some regime or something that this world can give me. My stability is in Christ Jesus, my Lord, the one that is ruler above all of this. And the question I was faced with this week is my trust in him for that? Or am I looking around to the rulers of this world? And I read a thing about, you know, one of the people in Malmesbury wrote a letter. And I differ from that person's opinion. But it was just telling to me when somebody read that letter to me, actually. When that letter was read to me, it might sound very spiritual, and it was about this whole Angus deal, what's happening on the 22nd. And this pastor wrote and he said, "Yeah, but, you know, please, Uncle Angus, you know, don't just go and repent again of all the stuff. Please get the people together so that, you know, the political people can see that we are making a stand, can see that we are doing something together." And it sounds very spiritual. Very nice. But when you listen to that, where is the crux of that person's faith to influence the political surroundings? While scripture says, if my people were called by my name, will do what? Humble themselves and pray, repent. All of the, then I will hear from heaven and I will come and I will do what? I will heal their land. So there's a lot of people doing stupid things which feels very spiritual because we are doing something. So we must be very careful in these days to allow our hearts to go to a humanistic thing. That is what that is. There was more trust in the humanistic cohesive than in God. And it feels nice because we're doing something together. And Satan's fine with that, you know. He's fine to us, let us do some stuff together. As long as there's no power there. If there's power there, repentive power. Now I'm speaking godly power. If Christ's power is there, they hate it. That's why five people together in unity repenting for something is much more deterring to Satan and their people and his people than a million people coming together putting their trust in the humanistic hoo-ha, we're making a show of this. Okay? So understand kingdom dynamics when you approach this instability of these times coming. So I want to just highlight a couple of things for tonight just regarding this word. And the one thing is, the first thing there, as you can see, Jesus is the one that reigns over all. And Jesus controls who becomes king and who doesn't. Okay, so first one there, in Daniel 2:21, you can read with me. It says there, God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Okay? That's the first part of it. The second part of Matthew 28:18 says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. So when, and then the second part says, therefore, I typed wrong there. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So when Jesus says that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, what does all mean? All authority. All kings of the earth, all kings of heaven, whatever they are, all princes, all authority has been given to Christ Jesus. He's the one that is ruling right now. And it says then, Daniel 2:21, it says, God removes kings and he sets up kings. And you might think, you know, I've been, before we came to this place where we are now, I was many times wondering about Zimbabwe and Robert Mugabe. And there's one of my friends, he came from there and they lost a lot of property in Zimbabwe, a lot of farms. And then one day he was just saying, you know, wouldn't it just be easier for somebody to snipe, you know, just get a sniper and just take out Robert Mugabe? We laugh. But I mean, when you get to a place where it's so tangible of what is starting to happen to you, then, you know, those are the thoughts that you've got in your heart. Okay, you just uttered it. And we are now, you know, in this unsure place. But what if we tilt to that side? How many of us will feel the urge to take up some arms and to go after? What we must check is our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against every ruler, principality, and powers of the air. Remember that, especially in this time. This time where we're going to is going to be fun for those who understand kingdom dynamics. Not as much fun for those who don't. And those who are fearful. Okay, so God is the one that appoints. It says there in Romans 11:33. We must say again. It says, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable his ways. So following on from my Zimbabwe thing is when we think about God and his ruler, sometimes we think, you know, we want to counsel God and say, God, I don't know if you've seen what is happening at the moment. I don't know if you've seen what is happening in Zimbabwe, God. All of the hurt. God knows that. So when we think about this, we must remember Romans 11:33. It says, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable his ways. So sometimes, you know, like we've seen with the Soviet Union, like we've seen with so many things, you know, the Berlin Wall and all of those things that came down, there was a time when God appointed for that to fall. And it did. But there was before that a long time when it didn't fall. When there was a lot of issues and stuff that continued to happen. And people would have asked that question regularly. You can go and read Isaiah 45 of Cyrus. You know, God raises up kings for times where he wants to bring about change. And that is what we can do. We can pray and ask God that he would hasten that process. But we must give God the liberty to do that. Not come and stand in his way and, you know, and manipulate and scheme and connive so that we can have our way. For what? Most of us, myself included, are motivated by our own comfort and security. Okay? Our own comfort and security is the thing that drives us. And we don't want to give that up. It's weird sometimes how we can say, yes, Jesus, I will die for you. Like Benjamin always says. But I don't want to be uncomfortable for Jesus. But I'll die for Jesus. Danelle just told the story to Ross and Magritte when they were visiting us this afternoon. And it was just, I sent it to the leaders as well. As a testimony that a woman that was praying in, now, just in these past couple of months, where God challenged her and said, for her and her prayer team that works there in the Middle East, and said, do you really believe that I can do the impossible? It's a good question, okay? God asks great questions to us sometimes. Do you really believe? So put your name in there, Duval, your own name. Do you really believe that I can do the impossible? Yes, 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 okay. But it's something different when you start to walk into that possibility of the impossible. So what happened was God asked her the question, and yes, okay, so she said, God, yes, you can do the impossible. And especially in the Middle East, the impossible is really impossible for the gospel. Only God can make a way. So she starts praying with her team. And they thought, what will be an impossible thing? Or just a God can do thing. And they started to ask God that a whole group of Muslims will have in one night the same dream all together. And they start praying that. But now here's the thing that got to me. God comes and he speaks to John. This is just a pseudonym for the person that is there. He speaks to John and he says, John, I want you to go into this hostile Muslim area. Take your family with you, hallelujah, and go and live there among them. And guess what? John does it. He goes there with his family, lives there. And do you know what happens? Everybody gets saved. Okay, amen. No, not yet. There's a ring of John's doorbell just after they got there. And three masked men gets him, kills him in front of his family, and drives off. That's John's story. And then, when they've removed John, God comes and he speaks to Gordon, pseudonym for another one of the Christian pastors in the Middle East. Gordon knows John. And God says, Gordon, I want you to go and live there where I told John to go and live. Now, people, don't get religious on me. How many of us would do that? Gordon takes his family, knowing what happened to John, moved there. The week after, he moved in there. Guess who rings his doorbell? The three musketeers with their balaclavas and everything on. And he knows this is it. They don't kill him. They just put a sack over his head, throw him in the back of a trunk of the car, and then they speed off with him. So now he's thinking, because he knows how the Muslim world works, this is going to be a public execution, because that brings more glory to Allah. As they go, they stop at this place and they take him out. And when they unveil him, in front of him in a big hall sits 900 Muslim men. And the three guys standing, they said, sorry for doing this to you, but we had to come to you. And this is their story. And he tells them, all of these men that are sitting here had in one night the same dream. In that dream, there was this man that appeared to all of them. And that man told them, John's blood is on their hands. And if they want to know how to get the blood of John off of their hands, they must go and fetch Gordon, and Gordon will come and tell them how they can get the blood off their hands. Gordon shares the gospel with them. 900 Muslims in these past couple of months, people. God is still in the miraculous business. He is the ruler of kings. He is awesome. Hallelujah, Flo. But you know what the kicker is? Are you willing to lay down your life? That is it. Are we willing to lay down our lives in this time of insecurity, uncertainty? You know, not hypothetically. I'm speaking to me too, okay? It's not just you. The second thing, Jesus regulates what the kings of the earth does. So in Abram's story then, Genesis 20, and in Jesus' birth, Abram comes and, you know, I spoke about it the other day as well. Abram goes and he's afraid of Abimelech, the king there. And then because of his beautiful wife, Sarah, and as they go in, because Sarah is his half, you know, same mother, different father type of thing. So she is actually his sister, but not totally. Then he said, listen, I'm going to tell him that you're my sister. And then she goes along with that stupid idea of his, submits nicely. She goes into the king because the king wanted her for his wife. So what happens there is God appears in that dream to that king and speaks to him and says, listen, this what that you are doing is an abomination before me. And he said, God, I didn't know. In the integrity of my heart, I did what I did. And then God speaks to him and says, I know, because of the integrity of your heart. And that is the reason why I'm here, to stop you from committing the sin. So God rules the kings of the earth. Same thing in Jesus' birth. You know, Jesus was in Nazareth, but he was brought to Bethlehem for one reason. What? The king of that time wanted the census done in his kingdom. And even though Joseph was living in Nazareth, because he was born in Bethlehem, he needed to go back there to get counted. Right? So God operates this whole thing to have Jesus in Bethlehem at that time, because there's a couple of prophecies that needed to be fulfilled. And God uses the kings of the earth to do his bidding. Okay, so there's a lot more things that you can go and share, just look at throughout the Bible regarding that. The third thing that I want to get to tonight is That's number two. The next one. Jesus has authority to claim citizens everywhere. Okay, now this one got to me, actually. When you are a citizen of any nation, even though you haven't got a king over you in a certain sense, Jesus, the King of Kings, can summon anyone from any nation to come and to be in his kingdom because he is over all of them. And you know what? Jesus says that in Matthew 28:18-19, like I read in the first time, but this time emphasis on the second part. Jesus says to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all people, everywhere, every nation. Bring them into my kingdom because my kingdom is above all of that. Hallelujah. So Jesus can take kingdoms, take citizens for his kingdom from any nation in the world. And he does. And you know what? You and I can be part of that. You and I can be like Gordon and John in that story. As we are obedient to Christ's call and what Christ calls us to do, we can have those people come and be in the kingdom of God because of our obedience to the Christ, to Christ's great mission here on earth. So the last thing is Christ will triumph one day. And I hope one day soon. 1 Corinthians 15:25 says, he, Christ, must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. Matthew 16:18 says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? His church. Revelation 17:14 says, the kings of the earth are arrayed in battle against Christ. But it says there, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of kings, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. So, the last thing is, when it comes to this authority that Christ has given us, you know why God is arranging everything like he is? Apart from his kingdom coming, his reign being established, for who was that done? For his church. We are supposed to do what? To reign now already. Where? With Christ in heavenly places. As the church, God is ordaining everything in the world for the good of the church. Now I know this is frying our brains. You know what? There where the most miracles happen, there where the most awesome stuff is, there where the church is growing the fastest. Do you want to know where that is? Anywhere there is real persecution. So, take a flight to Korea. The bad one. Is it North Korea? Yeah, I think so. China. Russia. ISIS, Middle East. If God tells you to, okay, no, don't just go and shoot from the hip. And then go and see the church of God in action there. It's amazing. It's amazing to see how something so persecuted can grow so exponentially. Satan wants to kill it with everything he's got. And the more he tries to, the more it grows. And they will not love their lives unto death. They will willingly lay it down for the kingdom of God to come. For the church's sake. For Christ's sake, ultimately. But for the church's sake, God is ordering all this around us so that, like Ephesians 1:22 says, God has put all things under Christ's feet. And has made him the head over all things for what? For the church. So he's reigning at the moment as the head of all things, but for us. And we can enter into that place as his body, as the ones that are ruling and reigning with Christ Like Ross said this morning, that's one of the things that God does. God gives away freely his rule and reign. Not like earthly kings who kills off everything that comes against them, that might be a threat to them. Christ comes and he says, God, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And then after he's done all that, then everything that God is, he gives to us. And that's the awesome thing, you know, as I'm reading the Bible and as I'm studying, especially with this whole triune God, and, you know, if you want to get into theological arguments with some sects and stuff about that, that's quite interesting. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how they're working in perfect unity. And the one thing that I've recently discovered is that, you know, yes, God the Father is, because we've got a lot of scripture that says, and Jesus was seated at the right hand of the what? Of the power. Okay, so God the Father has got the power, and Jesus seated at his right hand. But what does that mean? It means it's kind of like the executive position. And then this is the thing that got me. God the Father, that scripture in Matthew 28 we just read, what did he give Jesus? All authority. Where? In heaven and on earth. So, just think Jacob Zuma here for a while. And some Nelson Mandela, for that sake, gives him all authority in his reign. What will happen? He'll get rid of Nelson Mandela as quickly as possible. That doesn't happen in heaven. Even though God the Father has given all authority to Christ Jesus, his Son. And then, at the end of time, I don't know where that scripture is, I'll go and search for it. It says that Christ Jesus wants to get everything together so that he can do what? So that he can give back to the Father the kingdom. And I'm like, God, you blow my mind. In that place of just mutual submission, sharing of authority, being humble, being meek. And we can be part of that. Christ wants us to be with him. But if you are going to rule and reign with him with an arrogant heart, and you are the bee's knees and the one that has been given as the power of the hour, you won't last long. Because as you elevate yourself in Christ's economy, you will go down. Those of you who want to be first in the kingdom of heaven must be servant of all. So if you've elevated yourself to a place where you're not serving anymore the people around you from a genuine place of humility, you're on difficult, dangerous territory. But Christ wants you to rule and reign with him, but he is the ultimate humble, meek king. Anyway, so tonight I want to encourage you. I want to have you start reading the news with this in mind. When you see this stuff happening, know that Christ is in control. Know that he's ordering everything for the church's sake, so that the church can reign with Christ and that Jesus can come back. He will triumph. That he will do, and join him in claiming citizens for his own kingdom from all nations and states of the world. And that's what we do as Shofar. We want to reach nations and generations with this gospel of Christ. Okay, so I want to just pray tonight, and I hope that some of you have been encouraged, especially with all the news that are coming, and there will be many more such bulletins and stuff. But just start changing your heart, knowing that Christ is in control. God is in control of all of this. And I must learn to lay down my life. That's the big thing. Because even if they kill me in this world, that doesn't get me. That's what Paul said. For me to die is gain, to live is... For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let me just get my... Because then I'm going to my actual home. Where is your citizenship? Is your citizenship here? Or is it in heaven? If it's there, so what happens here? Yes, it's bad. Yes, it's painful. The Nell sermon of last week. We must work through that pain so that we can have compassion. But we must know that we are ruling and reigning with Christ. Father, thank you that tonight you've just started, Lord, to speak to a lot of us regarding this thing in this time. Thank you, God, that as a nation, we're coming to you. And Lord, we want to humble ourselves and pray for our leaders. And God, for your glory's sake, Lord, as we humble ourselves, Lord, let your name be lifted up high, God. Let us be a testimony, Lord, to the world of your kingship and your rule and your reign. And Father, in our lives, God, we want to repent, Lord, of looking to systems and things and people, God, more than we are looking to you and hoping in you to bring about change, God. We want to force that, God. We want to force that change, Lord. We want to just bring about a humanistic thing, God. And then we get the glory. God, all glory belongs to you. But Lord, we want to be in that place, Lord, where you command and we do, as we do in your kingdom, Lord. So that you can just raise up kings, Lord God, and bring others low. Lord, thank you that you are the King of all the kings of the earth. And as Proverbs says, Lord, the heart of the king is in your hand, and you turn it whichever way you want to, God. And Lord, we're looking forward, Lord, to see you purify us more as your church. The reason we're not overcoming yet is because we're still perverted in our hearts, God. And you want to purify us. Bring us to that place, Lord, where your gospel and your spirit inside of us, Lord, brings forth life. Not a mixture, Lord God, of a little bit of this world and a little bit of your kingdom, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And like that poster says, that God rules, always has, always will. End of discussion. We honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.